Hi there, this is Rick Moyer, and I am going to give you the writer and director commentary to the audio drama Beaten to a Pulp. I hope you enjoy it. And let's get started.
The following audio presentation is brought to you by Moyer Multimedia and TakeHimWithYou.com. And now, Beaten to a Pulp, the sci-fi tale with a twist of fate.
Okay, so originally I had to try and come up with a way to tell the Easter story that was not very traditional. I think a lot of people that listen to the podcast and many people that I run into are familiar with the story, and so it just gets kind of, I don't know, just commonplace, and it really doesn't make people think. Well, in this case, I really wanted to do something that would be from a different angle and bring out the story of Easter, but with what I geekily term a fun little story with science fiction with a twist of faith. So we start out things, and I was able to get some friends of mine to do some of the lines for me.
Okay, note to self.
And
We're
I asked my friend Simon from
Dr.
England
Blankenship
if he would
rushing
play
around
one
in
of the doctor's
artifacts.
parts.
We're not sure
And
what
so
it
you
is.
hear him. He's the guy with the English accent. He's actually
He's just
from the UK.
calm down,
And
Lisa.
great friend,
Tell
and a
him it
really
doesn't
he's got a
go.
podcast called Waffle
So
On,
what is it?
and they
Just
him and his
a
co-host do
little
just some
more careful.
very funny things and talk about
Looks
TV,
like
and
another private
it's
discovery
just very fun to
just
listen to
found a
every week.
ladle.
So I asked him if he
A
would read some of the
ladle?
lines, and he very
Seriously?
willingly agreed to. He's been listening to the
It's not
podcast
bad.
and
Well, after
has
6 months,
enjoyed
I
it,
was looking
so
forward to something a
he
little more
said he would.
glamorous than a ladle, but beggars can't be choosers, can they?
No, they can't.
Now,
Well, look
the
who made it
lady's
back.
voice that
Get
you
it?
hear
Get it?
is a lady by the name of Jen
Dr.
Rhodes,
Crowley always gets her
and
chance.
she
He's
is
in the tent. They
on
don't
the
want to see
forum at the
this.
Trex and Sci-Fi
Don't let
forum
me
that I belong
distract you.
to, and
What
we
did you
became
find?
friends
Why look
years
like a water
ago.
ladle?
Her and her
I think
husband
it's time
Dave
to
are
move
in the
some
audio
ideas
drama,
about
and they
station.
are just
So
wonderful people.
far,
I
the
love
other
talking
things we
with
have
them
done
about
with our
God. And
family really coming together.
anyway, I
Well,
asked if Jen would
let's
do
get
the
this
part of
business as
Samantha
close to
Crowley,
inside
Dr. Samantha
out.
Crowley, and
I
of
think
course
we'll
she
find
did.
out very quickly if this
And
is
I
what
thought
we
she did a
want
great
or
job.
not.
She has a great voice,
Note to
and she
self.
does a lot of audio recording. Very good
2009,
writer, by the
Dr.
way. She's
Crowley has
incredible.
returned with a new
And hopefully she'll put out
paleoradiology
some
machine.
novels we can all read,
We're going
because
to
she's
look
a
under the
fantastic writer,
site
very
that we're
creative.
excavating before we actually
I'll
dig
let you
this
know when
stuff.
her husband's on
I'm
later. He's
so
got
excited.
a quick bit
Jeez,
part
Doc, put
that
that thing
I
down and
will
help me get this
tell
out.
you when he's
We're
on.
making history here, Charlie.
So
I don't
basically,
want
we
to miss
start off, and
one
I
bit of
wanted to
it.
have a
This
story
was a
where we were
blessing
in
by
present
chance.
day,
An X-ray machine like
and
this with a
it's an
billion dollars
archaeological
does not
dig
do very
in
well.
Jerusalem,
I'm glad the
and what
University
they
of
think they
Arizona
found
is
is the
far away.
captain of the
Usually, the
guard
Bowen
station.
boys get this machine.
And
Cousins have
so
anything
what
to say
happens
about it?
here
And being
is
here to Israel is
they start
unusual in and
to
of itself.
brush
I
away
don't
some
believe
different
in
things, and they
miracles,
find a
Samantha.
water ladle,
But if
and
you
they're not
act
very
like
excited
this,
about that. They'd really like to find a
you'll be
weapon.
thanking us.
So Dr. Rumstead
Too bad they don't have a time machine.
gets this really
Doctors
cool.
would be so
He
thankful.
graduated from the
To
University
actually
of
go
Arizona
back
in
there
their
and see what it was
archaeology
like.
department,
Not only go
and
find a
wrote to
place
them
to dig
and
out,
wanted
but
to see if they could
leave
rent
me
or
here,
borrow
see the people.
one of these
Do what you got to.
paleoradiology
She as well
machines.
as a
Yes, I
doctor
had to
can
look
just
that
tell
up
me.
because
You're
I
like
knew that they
Star
had
Trek.
these devices
We
that
cause
could
a
look under
headache
the
for temple
ground,
police.
and
How many
that's
times did
exactly
good time travel?
what they do have.
Okay,
And so
boys, enough of your science
he
fiction
ordered
now.
one
For some
and got
non-fiction
it
amusement.
sent over, and Dr. Samantha Crowley picked it up at the airport, but she misses one thing. She forgot the power cord in the cab.
Where's the
It
box
was
of
in
the
a different
power cord?
box, and this
Can't
sets it
see
up
anything
so
in
that
here.
the
What do you
doctors can
mean?
be
It's a
separated
blue
for a moment
box. I don't see any blue
while the
box.
time
Go
travel
back, I can
happens,
find
which
it.
will happen in a moment. Of course, you heard
Oh,
back there the
I
comment about
like it
Star
here.
Trek. We're all
I'll
Trekkies
take you in the Jeep,
that
Doc.
are performing
Which
here, and
cabin
I
would
had,
you
you know,
be
I,
in?
each one of them
You
sent me
know,
their
it's
lines
almost noon.
separately, and
I'm
then
going
I
to head
cut
out
them
for a bite
apart
to eat. You
and
guys
then
find
put
the
them
power
together
cord,
with the
and
music
we'll
and the
meet
sound
up at
effects and everything. And so it
1:30
sounds like we're in the
Hill.
same room. They
I'm
actually did
sure
two or
that
three
you used to
takes
go
of the same
eat and do
line,
all the
and then I
work.
picked the one that
Somebody has
sounded
to do the
best with
planning
it.
around
And then
here.
I interacted with them,
Besides, I'm just going to go down
not
to that
live, but
cafe over there.
recorded right on my own
They've got
computer. And that's how
Wi-Fi,
I
and
made
it's
those
not
lines
far
get
away.
together.
If you guys get back early,
So
call
we're
me.
getting set up
You
here
guys be
for
careful. There's an
Blake
alert
to
out
go to a
today
little
that will
cafe to
alert if
have
we're logged into the
lunch
city.
while the
That
other
will
two go get
bust
the power
ultimately
cord
so
and have
people
lunch
won't get
as
stuck
well. And then they're
waiting
going to
until
meet
the
back
food comes
together,
back.
use the machine to see if they
Although
can
it won't
find a
be much of a
weapon
dollar.
at the
Besides,
dig.
I'll buy lunch for the lady, so he probably won't get back till you do.
Okay, see ya. Note to self. Okay, I've got my
I
briefcase
really
with the
thought about
timeline
what
and
would
my
it be
notes
like.
on
Sorry
brick
about that.
four.
I thought,
I'm
what would it
convinced
be
we'll
like to
find a
be
weapon in this place.
in a country where war could break out at any moment? I mean, I guess it could at any in any country, but in particular in the Middle East, it's just so volatile
Note
at
to
times.
self.
What
I'm
would
running
that
some
feel like?
projections as to
And that's kind of what I wanted to capture here is, you know, they're in a different place. They're not in the United States, and it's a different feeling. So he's eating lunch at the cafe here. You're going to hear my daughter do a little cameo appearance as the waitress. And there she is. That's Catherine. She was all nervous. She wanted to be in it, but she was too young, she thought. I said, it's all right. It'll be cool. Some of these artifacts intact. So now, this next sequence was really incredible to put together. I wanted everybody to realize that Blake was recording onto his digital recorder. We also wanted the suicide bomber to come in. If you listen very carefully in the background, you actually hear the language, because we actually used a line from a PBS documentary on Goliath. So we just used one of his insults that he hurled at the army and put it in there. But of course, now you hear the explosion, and in audio, it's kind of hard to explain what's going on. So that's why I had Blake say, "Oh my goodness, I'm not comfortable with this. Who is that man?" If you listen really carefully, you can actually hear people talking with the guy, trying to understand what he's doing. He opens his coat, and then of course somebody says he has explosives, and boom, the place blows up. And then from there, I did various sound effects from the music that I was playing on my keyboard to wind sounds to that little sound there was actually a sound from flashbacks from Lost, but slowed down. Of course, now Blake wakes up, and I actually bought some sound effects of a crowd screaming "Crucify Him" because I couldn't find any that's anywhere. I found a church that had them for sale, so I bought one little clip. You can hear them in the background. I had angry crowd and all these different things, but
what's going on?
Here you go.
Why is everyone so agitated?
They just released.
That's me doing that voice there. Obviously, you can probably tell that.
The blasphemer Jesus.
I'm gonna talk like this, you know.
I wouldn't be showing myself.
That's my friend there, my son's friend, Preston. And he did a couple of different voices for me there. Of course, we have the Roman guard. Here comes Nathan, my son.
Explain yourself.
Slowed his voice down a little bit because
are you wearing?
He was being goofy the day he was recording.
Are you from? Is that a weapon?
Can you imagine what it would be like to be standing there in our garb that we wear today back in time at the trial of Jesus? We would stick out like a sore thumb, and that's, of course, the Romans are realizing that.
Stay where you are. Do not move.
Now, of course, Blake gets an opportunity as they go chase after the guy that stole the briefcase. Blake gets out of there because he realizes he's in big trouble if they come back for him. So he takes off and heads off. Of course, there's so many, you know, the drama would be 5-6 hours long if I filled in all the different storylines. But basically, Blake runs off and he's going to go try and find some clothes so that he fits in a little bit. I mean, he's the only obviously Western white guy. didn't have a whole lot of those walking around. And so he's got to figure some way to hide himself. This song is a really cool song. If you have listened to the entire drama, you'll notice that this song is the actual song that rolls at the credits, a song from Blake's perspective called "I Didn't Believe Till Now." And so I did a little instrumental thing that clicks some of the scenes together, or hooks some of the scenes together. Kind of an X-File-ish, cool pop-ish song that I just thought really went with the theme of it. I wanted to not just have the violin and orchestra stuff that I did, but I wanted to have some other types of music involved because everybody likes different kind of music, and I just thought this really did well at pulling things together. So now Blake is going to explain. Now, this is another thing that was a little bit controversial. I originally was going to do the entire show on the digital recorder, but it grated on my nerves. I didn't like the sound of it.
I have no idea what happened to me.
I actually went out. Originally, I was going to try to push a button on my recording system and make it sound like I was recording on a recorder. But, you know, it just didn't have the authentic sound. In the promo, that's what I did, and it just doesn't sound right. If you listen to the promo for Beaten to the Pulp, you hear Blake talk, and it's just kind of washed out, tinny sounding. It just didn't sound right. I actually went to Staples. I went to Walmart first, but they didn't have what I wanted. I needed to get a recorder that recorded MP3, and that's what I did. I found a little Sony recorder from Staples. It was a little expensive, but you know, for the project, I thought it was kind of cool. It's good to have one now, too. And you basically record your stuff, push a button, and it goes right into your computer as MP3. So I just dropped it right into the audio files as I was editing. Now, like, the first time you heard it was kind of quiet because I didn't have any background. Here's, I actually put a crowd on my speaker system, sat right in the middle like I would be in a crowd, and recorded, and that's why it sounds like I'm out there in a crowd.
Well, not really. I'm the only white guy around here, so I kind of stick out like a sore thumb. I think I'm going to try to rub some dirt on my face and my hands. At least
I thought that would be funny. What would you do if you were back there? How would you, you know, hide as much skin as you can and then just be in the background?
I've never been much of a religious man.
Of course, his tennis shoes would probably...
I don't know how to say it's challenging me.
I don't know if he was wearing boots or tennis shoes. Probably boots.
He was warming himself by the fire last night.
Not sandals.
He apparently recognized another...
Now, this was the other thing that I had a lot of fun with. I wanted to give a modern-day perspective of the biblical characters that we would have heard or read about in the Bible from a modern standpoint. And so that's why you're hearing me talk about different characters. Now here, I talk to a guy that warmed himself by the fire. And if you read in the Bible, you'll see the place where Peter denied Christ three times. And Jesus told him he would. And basically I wanted to have that experience of somebody who saw Peter go through the turmoil of actually denying Christ three times and then realizing what he'd done. So I brought that in. And part of this was to get the feeling of Blake actually being convinced that he's back in this time, that it's fascinating to him. He didn't pay attention, if you listen a little bit into the drama, he didn't pay attention in school to the Jesus stuff. He just was interested in the archaeologist point of view, but he wasn't really into the religious message per se, and especially not the personal relationship message. That's not even entered it in his mind. And so that's what I was trying to get across by Blake talking about people that he ran into that had actually had an experience with Christ.
I've spoken to a few more of the locals here, and now I'm really alarmed. I think I might actually be here. The sights and the smells. I've never smelled in a dream before. I mean,
I thought that was an interesting too. I've had a lot of very vivid dreams, but I don't remember smelling anything in my dreams. And so I thought that would be kind of a cool kind of thing to make people go, oh, maybe he is back there.
These folks that I just ran into describe the events that took place this morning before I woke up in the crowd.
This is another good little history lesson without having to read directly from the Bible. What we find is that Jesus was innocent, and Pilate and others, you know, they didn't find any fault with him. It really was the Jewish leaders and Pharisees that agged on the crucifixion, and basically the Roman government, which is kind of weird, this kind of flipped around, but actually gave in to peer pressure, gave in to the, they didn't want a big revolt on their hands. So instead of letting Jesus go because he was innocent, they let Barabbas go. And that was a big controversial thing. That's where we get our whole term of scapegoat, you know, letting go somebody, putting the sins, well, there's a whole history lesson behind that. Maybe sometime I'll talk about it. I don't have time to do it here. But basically, that's what I explained. I talked to somebody, and they kind of let Blake in on what was going on, that they were going to crucify Jesus. They were going to punish him. Here's the other interesting part. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting? The Praetorium was a place where the soldiers kind of gathered, and that was their headquarters. Pontius Pilate was the... he had his headquarters there as well. It was like a base, home base of operation. And I thought it would be interesting if Blake came along, some people sitting on the wall watching what was going on with Jesus. So he climbs up there with them. I really wanted to get the impact into people's hearts and minds on what really took place with Jesus. Because I think Mel Gibson did a great job in The Passion of the Christ of displaying what happened. Before that, a lot of people just read the story, but they didn't realize the impact. I really wanted to bring a fresh perspective on that. What would a modern person think? And so we go from the digital recorder now into, you know, you have to take a leap of faith here that he's still recording it, but now we get to hear him because we're going to hear the sound effects around him as well. This particular scene had at least 35, 36 tracks to it to make it sound like there was a lot of people there, and the beating and the voices. Just the whole ambience of the scene took a lot of work. And then, of course, the music. I put the music in afterward. I didn't have that first. And this music, if you listen really close, is kind of my tribute to Stargate. There was one particular song that I really liked that had that with the violins. So I'd put it in this part just because I could. Yeah. And everything's in stereo if you're listening. When you listen to the actual drama, everything's very in stereo, so you can hear some people from the left, some people from the right. And then we're going to go into a very intense song. I had the idea. We were at lunch at the Ocean Palace restaurant in Aberdeen, my wife and I, and we were talking about what kind of music we were going to use when Jesus got beat up, because I think that's really, you know, beaten to a pulp really came from that whole idea that he suffered and was tortured knowing full well that he was going to die on the cross for us. And I think that's such an amazing sacrifice. But I wanted the beating to really have a huge emphasis. And that, so I just all of a sudden thought, what if I did a really heavy rock song with breaks in it where the whipping lined up with the rhythm of the heavy metal song? And that's what happened. That's why we get this song. It's on the soundtrack too. You can listen to it. It's not a very pleasant song, but it's definitely evokes the emotion I was looking for. A lot of turmoil and a lot of anxiety and confusion, as it was a free-for-all. You know, these guys were ripping out his beard and spitting on him and kicking him and whipping him, and they beat him to a pulp, basically almost unrecognizable. If you read any of the actual accounts from some of the historians like Josephus, where he didn't even recognize that it was a human being, it just looked like a beaten animal because he was so swollen up and pretty much ripped apart. If they used the cat of nine tails, it would have been little pieces of metal and bits of bone on the end of these leather strips as they ripped it across his back, would have ripped him open. And so that's why I did the song so violent. Kind of hard to listen to. It's a difficult scene. The other thing too, if you listen, there's in the actual song that you listen on the soundtrack, doesn't have this voice, but I put a Roman guard with a taunting voice that goes over the top of the music, basically the representative of the devil. I was trying to get that satanic feel of, you know, getting his jollies off of seeing Jesus be hurt and go through the suffering. And that's what you hear in that voice, that, you know, prophesy, who hit you? You know, use this deep demonic voice with the effects to try and get across the fact that the devil really thought that he was going to eliminate the problem here. But really, we find later on in the story, classic, that the devil overplayed his hands. And even though he tortured Jesus, Jesus got the last laugh and won the victory. So that's cool. My wife thinks I do the devil pretty well. Yeah, thanks, Amy. Then my friend Jen sent me this sound effect of the heartbeat and the breathing, and I thought that would be an interesting thing. We're coming up on a scene now that was, I decided to do it completely straight with absolutely no sound effects, no music. I got the house as quiet as I could, and then we hear Blake's perspective. And I recorded it very close. The microphone's very close to my mouth. And I did that on purpose so that it would be almost like Blake is talking right in our ear. And hopefully you hear the emotion in his voice. Because if we really did experience watching somebody be beat up like that, we would not, it wouldn't be easy for any of us. I don't know anybody that's so hardened that they would have been okay with that. It would have been life-changing. In fact, to the point that it made Blake sick. And I think we would have been, you know, puking our guts out because of the horrifying, you know, end of what it looked like on this guy. I mean, Blake says, man, he's got to be dead after all that. But of course, Jesus wasn't dead yet. But he gave his life willingly and he let himself beat up. And even to the point of somebody said, you know, that's gross that you have Blake throw up. But you know what? It was probably very, very, very gross to see what they had done to Jesus. And then if you notice, as I'm talking quietly still, we start adding back ambience one track at a time so that he comes out of that straight face-to-face type of confrontation to he starts to realize the world around him again. And that's why you hear the guard kick Jesus and then the people start to talk again and you hear the chains rattle and the soldiers. We actually, for the sound of the cross being drug in, it's actually a 2x6 that my son brought into the house, and then he had a wood block that I have in my hand right here, and I scraped it across the wood, and it sounded like they were dragging it. There you go.
Get off
And you notice it's in stereo. It drags from the right to the left. Then we draw. I drop the wooden block on the 2x6 to make the sound of the cross falling on the ground.
Jesus, no, I can't believe it.
And sometimes in audio dramas it's hard because you have to tell people what they're seeing because they can't see it, and you can't always have sounds. I mean, you're not used to some of the sounds that you might see in a passion play like this. So I had to kind of use the narrative to say what was happening.
Please don't make him do this.
And then of course the mocking of the guards and everything, and drinking some cherry Kool-Aid here. Sugar-free, by the way. Okay, so now Blake's going to get down off the wall and he's going to watch. I wanted to have some perspective again of the walk to Golgotha, to the place of the skull where they're going to crucify him. I did a lot of research on this and read a lot about it. And you know, in the movie, some of the movies, it sounds like they take forever to get to Golgotha. It takes forever, you know, and it's this long drawn out thing. But really, when I did my research and reading, it wasn't too far away from the captain of the guard station or from the praetorium, because that was at a busy gate where people came in and out a lot, and they had to do it outside the gate, but they picked it on purpose, and of course Blake explains why. So the walk probably wasn't that long. As long as it is in the movies. So I tried to make, as you'll hear, I tried to make it as short as I could, but still have the impact of the fact that they made him carry his cross. Of course, my friend Richard Pete from, where are you from, Richard? Is it Illinois? Chicago? Illinois? Around there? I think somewhere around there. He's another friend of mine from the Treks and Sci-Fi forums. Really cool guy. Him and his family love God, and they are in productions and everything. And one really late night, it was really late. I was talking to him on Skype and told him about the drama that I was recording and stuff, and I needed somebody to do a part of Simon of Cyrene. And he said, well, I could do it. And so I asked him if he would, and he said, sure. And he actually recorded it that night, sent me the lines, and I cut him in. Everybody was asleep at his house when he did it, but thank you, Richard, for doing that. It was great to have you on the drama. We'll have to do some more down the road. Since then, he got a better microphone, so I guess I am planning on doing another drama during Christmas, and maybe I can get him to be on the Christmas drama too. That'd be fun. So again, I have this really cool book that my friend Kurt Klinger gave me called The Arco Volume, and it's a great little history kind of thing. Some people say it's not legit. Other people say it is, but they basically found it underneath the Vatican, some writings, and they put these writings together. And basically it was an interview with the friends of Jesus and Gamaliel from the story in Acts and several different people. And it's the account of their relationship with Christ. And so I took a little bit from that and reading that. And then of course, out of Matthew, I mean, I'm taking most of the story out of Matthew 26, 27, 28, around there. So that's what I'm doing. So we're talking to Martha right now. And Martha is talking, you know, they had a good relationship with Jesus. Lazarus was Martha's brother who was dead. And then, of course, 3 days later, Jesus, you know, calls out and he gets out of the tomb. And Lazarus comes back to life because Jesus raised him from the dead. And so it's a cool story to hear. And then I had Blake ask her, well, you know, is he really God? And that's a really good question. I think that's really the question of the whole drama. What if Jesus really is God? What do we do with that? And that was the whole intent behind the drama, is what, you know, what if you saw it with your own eyes? A lot of people don't believe till they see something with their eyes, but you know, sometimes you can feel things with your heart and then the truth can enter in. And that, in this case, here's Blake right back there. And so now they're going to start the scene here where Blake and Simon look right into Jesus' eyes. The reaction from the crowd isn't good. They're trying to get him to carry his cross. And of course, he is so exhausted from the beating and he's bleeding and blood's dripping from him. And they, you know, they've cut him all up and now he's got to carry this cross on his back. That's had to have been excruciating. And of course, he couldn't do it. So that's why they had Simon of Cyrene picked him out of the crowd to carry the cross for Jesus. I'm sure that was not what he was planning to do that day. You hear Jesus crying out in agony. And then I had to figure out a way to be introduced to Simon, so I trip over him because it's a lot of people around. And so I trip on him, and I introduce myself, and we start to talk. And then the captain, or one of the Roman guards, I think played by my son Nathan, says, "You pick up the cross and carry it."
Careful, friend. Watch yourself.
Yeah, there's Richard.
Sorry, I tripped. Sorry, I just can't believe my eyes. I'm Blake.
I'm called Simon. And yes, these are incredible times. How sad for this man.
I thought that was another thing that was interesting. How sad it was that a man that was innocent was being punished. Some people realize it, some didn't. But it was all to fulfill prophecy, basically.
Look, I knew he couldn't carry it. He's falling.
You there.
Me?
No, you.
Me?
Pick up his cross. You are
on the other hand, that's my voice. That wasn't Nathan. He wasn't there that day when I was recording this scene. It took many, many, many hours to do this. Way more hours than I usually put into the podcast, but I already committed, so... Sometimes I had actors, sometimes I didn't. And there's Simon saying he was sorry that he had to do this, and he looked into Jesus' eyes. Then we're going to have another like surreal moment when Blake kind of thinks in his own mind. It has a cool music bed that I did with some just kind of eerie, spacey sounds. And then Blake talking about what it was like to look into the eyes of Jesus. There it is right there. And what would it do? I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, there's people that go to church all the time and they don't have a relationship with Christ. And then there's people that they don't necessarily go to church, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but who do have a personal relationship or commitment to Christ. And there's a difference. And I think that's one of the things that I wanted to convey, is that when you come face to face with the reality of Jesus, that changes everything. And I wanted Blake to start on that journey of looking into his eyes and going, wow, this could be really true. This could be really real. This could be the Savior here. And then, of course, I wanted to do kind of a noble kind of sound song that a king might walk into on a procession, even though they were excited about crucifying Jesus and everybody was like a mob mentality. I wanted to bring out the fact that Jesus really is noble and he is really king, but nobody recognizes that at this point. And so we get this song, and I've used a lot of timpani drums. And then I wanted also to relay the fact that the Romans guards were trying to pull away the people from him. They wanted to help him. Some wanted to help him. Some did not. Some were throwing stuff at him and mocking him. So I just wanted to get that whole feeling of a crowd following this morbid parade. It's morbid. It's kind of gross. And, you know, I mean, it was entertainment for them during that time, but it certainly was a morbid situation. I mean, they're basically, it'd be like walking somebody from death row to the electric chair or to the chamber where they're going to get injected with lethal injection. It's just not a cool thing. But here it is in this time when they didn't have all that technology. So, you know, they're carrying the cross, or Simon's carrying the cross. Jesus is attempting to walk. I'm sure at times they drug him. And I kind of wanted to bring that out till we get to the place where they're going to crucify him and execute him. So I was trying to bring across the noble, royal feeling, yet military feeling, if you hear the snare drum, because the Romans were crucifying him and they were involved in this whole process too. This is real. So if you listen to the soundtrack, you'll hear that song without all the sound effects, and it's quite noble. Noble. I remember that from Babe, Pig in the City. Remember that? Oh, what a noble duck. Sorry, I just like the word noble. It's cool. And of course, I had to download some sound effects of women crying. And then here's where Blake starts to pray for the first time. He's never really had any contact with God. And here he is. He's starting to pray, asking God to give him strength, because it's scary to him. He doesn't like what's happening. As well, anybody in their, you know, logical and sane mind wouldn't have liked what was going on, but again, things were happening because God had foreseen how this was all going to work. So they get to the part. This was the end of, if you were listening to the podcast, this was the end of part one. And this is where we leave you hanging, where he grabs his recorder and he, you know, the guard says, bring the hammer, you know, where the nails. And then Blake comes on and says, you know, I don't know what to do here, but here we go. At first he was always trying to find a way back to his time, but now he's compelled, strangely, to watch what happens. And that's how we ended part one.
Note to self. We made it to a place called Golgotha. The term of the place means the place of the skull. I asked a local why they use this place to execute people. He said it was just outside the city gates and near a very busy road. This way it served as a public execution and kept the citizens in check.
Of course you don't. Yeah.
Many people.
You don't hear. I just told you the whole part of how we ended part two, but that's not on the entire thing because I wanted it all to go seamlessly together.
I mean, look what we entertain ourselves with.
Now Blake starts to give this commentary on how weird it is to be at the cross and how the people are really, you know, what is Golgotha all about? How the people are like, this is their entertainment. And I did a little research on Golgotha too and found that there was some folklore surrounding it. Golgotha just simply means the place of the skull, and that's where they executed, that's where they did the crucifixions. And it was on purpose because it was a busy place. People were going to and from the city there. And they would hurl insults and do all sorts of different stuff at the people dying on the cross. That's also true, too, when you study why they crucified people. Crucifixion in itself wouldn't kill you. It was the fact that you just gave out. You were not strong enough to pick yourself up and get a breath of air from your lungs. So basically you suffocated when you were on the cross. Also, we're now going to hear about this, the leaders that are watching this. Some of them were, of course, very excited that Jesus was finally going to be out of their hair and they could get back to their religious duties and scholarly activities, but others recognized what was going on. So I had Blake interview Nicodemus. I always love that story out of John chapter 3 where Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, had come to Jesus late at night and basically flattered him by saying he was from God, but he really was trying to figure out what was going on with him. And that's the whole thing where we get John 3:16. We get, you know, that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. And just on and on and on. Lots of great stuff in John chapter 3. You should read it. It's really good. So I interviewed Nicodemus and talked to him, and he basically spills his guts to Blake and says, you know, I'm not in favor of all this pomp and circumstance. I'm kind of sad they're doing this. I think Jesus is pretty cool. That's basically what the interview is about. I also tried to bring out the point that Jesus never really answered anybody straight. I mean, they would come up and ask him a question, and he would think about it, and then he'd ask them a question. And I think that's hilarious. That's, you know, because Jesus thought about it. He was reading the motives of men's hearts. And so he would ask a question back, and then they would have to think about it. Because a lot of times they were just trying to trick Jesus. They were just trying to get him to slip up on his words and, you know, cause people to hate him and not listen to him. But they weren't, I mean, they were able to get people to crucify him, but in the end, their plan backfired.
This really, really fascinated this Nicodemus man to the point of him questioning why he was doing what he was doing with leadership.
Again, technically, I'm using the recorder with some sounds of crowd coming through my speakers at home here. Instead of treating him like a rebel and a troublemaker. At times, if I'm closer to the crowd, if I thought in the script that he was closer to the crowd, then I would make the crowd a little the more personal crowd. I had three different crowd sounds. Interesting, too, that the sounds that you hear of the recorder coming off and on, that's actually taken from some friends of ours that prayed for us and had their recorder with them. But I love the sound of how it turned off and on, so I actually cut that part out and put it into the drama.
Jesus, on the other hand.
Okay, now we get into the crucifixion scene. A very specific song written for it. I'll tell you a little bit as we get closer to that. I mean, we could have spent a lot more time here, but I spent more time on the beating, I think, than I did on the crucifixion, even though I know this was
nicer garment.
Pretty wild. A lot of stuff happens in a short amount of time in this particular scene.
I feel bad for Jesus.
And then, of course, different voices and people, you know, talking.
One of the guards
to him
to drink something. He said it would ease the pain, but it looks like Jesus.
It tried to get Jesus wasted so he didn't feel so bad as he was dying, but he wouldn't do it.
Two of the guards now are stretching Jesus out on the.
Now here we get into the
nails for his
graphic part of it all.
I don't know if I can watch this.
Blake's like, I don't know if I can watch this.
I've often wondered why people would want to see someone executed.
I remember that people renting the Faces of Death video. And wondering why would anybody want to watch people die? It's kind of demented.
I have no idea.
But in particular, I mean, people showed up for hangings
so
in the
tragic.
You know, in the Old West, and we still have people today that if it was on TV, they'd watch people get killed. So I don't know. I guess it was entertainment for folks, but it's very sad. In this case, we used a hammer, a nail pulling like wrench and
like
a block of wood in that 2x6 to make the sounds.
Yeah, it has a purpose.
And the actual clanging sound is in the song itself, so that's why they don't all match up. I couldn't match them up perfect, but I figured it probably echoed and there was a lot of different sounds going on. Plus, the other thieves were being nailed to the cross too. So
I'm so compelled to see this through. I don't understand even why.
Then I got to think, some people think that Jesus was just quiet as they were nailing his hands or whipping him and stuff. I really do not think that's the case. I think that Jesus was fully human and fully God, and I think he experienced the pain and the agony. So I assume that he would have screamed out when they did that painful thing. Now they're going to drop him into the hole where he's, you know, they stand at the cross, and that was probably just excruciatingly painful. That initial thing. And then, of course, you know, in the stories, we think of Jesus hanging there with a loincloth, but he was naked. They crucified the folks naked. So it was not only was it just embarrassing to be up there in your birthday suit, but he's dying, you know. And then they mockingly put up this sign that says, "Here's the King of the Jews," and wanted to put that part in there as well. Music's going right along with it. It's very specific to the culture that they're in, and the tense feeling that it must have been to watch that crucifixion. Here we go. The people are mocking now. We did different voices. I did different voices from different angles, and taken right out of Matthew.
If you are the Son of God, why don't you come down from the cross?
Listening on headphones, you can hear it in the right and left speakers and stuff, some in the center. But those, you know, the people hurling insults as they're walking past. And then some of the leaders, of course, were mocking him as well, and documented in Matthew.
Even the leaders.
And I try to talk through that.
He saved others, and himself he cannot save.
Now, the next sequence of events, again, is it's a heavier song that I used to when Jesus cries out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And
one of the thieves,
I wanted to do it in a way that would be,
speaking to him.
Again, very powerful, but at the same time, very...
the other one.
I don't know, it's just a sadness and a thing where I think Satan really thought, man, if I can kill him, if I can get him crucified here, I've got it made, man. I can just take over humanity, do all I want, and I won't ever be stopped. And what he didn't realize is the principle that, you know, the thing that dies will come back to life and bring life, and he wasn't counting on that. And so I wanted the song to portray that very thing. That's coming up here in a few moments.
Simply for believing in him.
Right now we're talking about the two thieves on either side of Jesus who were mocking him. And I really didn't want to do the traditional, you know, make them actually talk kind of thing. So I only had one of them say something, and then I tried to describe what I heard, or what Blake heard the other thief say. And now we're going to get the part where
things are getting a little crazier now.
Crowd kind of picks up, and
there seems to be an intensity.
It's getting to the place where Jesus is going to go ahead and voluntarily give his life away to God.
For a miracle, and others simply want to see with their own eyes when he takes his last breath. It's so sad.
There we go. We got the music starting up.
Something strange is happening.
Oh, this is the part. Okay, that's right. This is the part where the Bible says that, I believe at the sixth hour, that darkness came over the land. Now, they don't say anything about the pressure changing, but I did. I thought that would be kind of, I mean, yeah, it got dark out. That was, first off, kind of weird.
Makes me want
to
run.
But I wanted people to feel the heaviness and the oppression that was about to come, because there was a giant plot here to wipe out God. And that would have been a very interesting feeling to be in on. Very dark and demented type of feeling.
Next to Jesus's family for the entire time.
And then I wanted Blake to be able to talk to the disciple John, who was. You know, there's some places where it talks about Jesus saying to John, "Take care of my family," kind of thing. And John was very close to Jesus, and of course he said, "I'll take care of him for you." And so I wanted Blake to have a conversation with John, and that's what this is here.
The disciple John, yeah. That's what his name was, and I know it's common around here, but it would make sense. He was very compassionate, he was very spiritual, but he's vexed and he's dismayed at today's events. He's very
now you're
going to
hear me interject some of John's writings from the Bible as well.
And at the same time,
I'm not sure that he had this revelation at this point in his life, but I used it anyway, because he would eventually go on to write some of the things that you hear Blake describe.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
The whole part about Jesus creating everything that we see, and that Jesus is God in the flesh, and that's all writings from John's perspective from the New Testament. So I figured he'd be forming his thesis at this point. So when Blake interviewed him, he kind of got to be able to talk about what he was thinking.
I asked if he could just be troubled because today's.
I thought that would be the scientist question. Are you sure that he just couldn't be troubled? You're not just troubled because of what's going on today? Are you a little emotional or what's up?
In the flesh.
And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm telling you the fact.
Why would God let himself be executed?
Good question. Why would God let himself be executed? I thought that was a grand question. And the answer, of course, we know, is because if he hadn't done that, the sins of our lives would not be forgiven. He was doing that on purpose. Now I have a really interesting conversation. I wanted to do this part where Blake kind of talks to himself. He kind of kicks into this whole thing of
who is this? It's you, Blake.
Why would Jesus die on the cross for me?
Oh, great, now I'm a lunatic. No, you're not. You're on track here, my friend.
And he's not crazy, but he's having this conversation with himself in his head of, you know, what's going on here? And Blake knows the story, even though he ignored it in college and stuff. A lot of people know the story of Jesus and what he's done for us, but in this case he's now coming to grips with that, so he's thinking about it, and I wanted that to be forward in his conscious thought, so that's why he's having a conversation with himself. Now he flips into, well, now how do I get back to my time? And he answers, this is all in good time. All in good time.
All in good time. It is, yes. Time is good.
Sorry, bad Yoda imitation. Okay, now we're going to come back into where things heat up pretty fast.
About 3 hours have passed now, and it's still dark.
It's 3 hours. Three hours later.
For all this darn pressure.
His ears are popping. We got that cool thunder sound in the background.
No rain at all, but it's rumbling from the east.
Of course, have the thunder roll across in stereo.
It looks like Jesus is trying to say something.
And here we go. Now we're into the part where Jesus is going to give up his life. And here comes that song. This song is a takeoff on an old silly song I used to do with a band called Raw Lime, called Goldfish Lips in My Swimming Pool. But I like the riff, so I used it. And there is Jesus screaming out, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. I didn't want to say the word llama, though. I don't want people to think of llamas dancing through there.
I know what that means.
Rather serious.
My God, why have you forsaken me? This is gut-wrenching.
Now here, you know, this is going to be an interesting part now. They tried to get Jesus wasted again because they thought he was crying out for Elijah. They didn't understand what he was saying. And I can't imagine what he must have been going through at this point in time.
shut up.
Blake's getting fed up now of all the mocking that's going on. It's just, it's too much for him. Of course, now the music tenses up. I'm using my keyboard for that music on this cool orchestra setting. Here he goes. Jesus is going to die now. On his own, he's not going to let them take his life. He's going to offer it willingly. And boom, here goes. And the thunder starts and the earthquake starts. And basically everything went crazy in that moment. I didn't get, you know, I couldn't see the temple at the time. But in the Bible it says that even the curtain in the temple that had the Ark of the Covenant broke down the middle and basically signifying that we could now go in and have a relationship with God again without somebody having to do it for us. That's what Jesus died for, so that we could have that personal walk with God. And so then the music starts up again, and we've got the wind blowing now, and he's trying to describe what he sees around him. The Bible says that people came up out of their graves, that the dead rose when that happened, that there was earthquakes, that, you know, buildings toppled, you know, a lot of turmoil and craziness all at once. And I tried to portray that sense of urgency with the sound effects. And then I decided to take on a different angle and kind of go with kind of another mysterious X-File-ish ravish beat that things just kind of went on. And that's what you hear here in the background, that music. And he's describing all the different events going on around him. All these different things that were that are in Matthew, and just trying to portray them.
Seems like chaos
from a modern standpoint.
The ground is stopped shaking now.
So now you're gonna,
to the first man,
you know, I'm sure there was a lot more time in between all this, but here we go anyway.
Now they're going over to the
for the sake of getting the drama under 2 hours.
They're at Jesus now.
And this again was prophesied in the Bible that. They didn't break any of his bones, that he was already dead. And then they did, it was prophesied long, long, long before Jesus was ever on this earth. It was prophesied that a spear would be stabbed in his side and that, you know, blood and water would flow from it. And people have said that blood and water means that his heart broke. And, you know, I don't know. But I do know that Jesus loves us so much that he would die on the cross for us. That's pretty cool. Horrible, but cool that he would do that for us. So I wanted to bring that kind of waka, 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 waka. You know, the cool talk box-ish sound along with the mysterious and that cool drum beat kind of portrayed the mood that I was looking for. Give it an ambiance. I like this effect. I had the wind going in the background on my stereo, and it did sound like it was hitting the digital recorder. It sounded cool.
To be buried in. I caught his name. It was Joseph, somewhere called Arimathea.
Given the whole thing where the rich guy put him in Jesus in his tomb.
Since rumors are that, well, his followers think he's going to come back to life. They want to make sure nobody comes and steals the body to make it appear that way. I'm going to follow, but I've got to get something to eat. I'm exhausted and I'm tired.
I thought exhausted and tired were the same thing. It's supposed to be. I'm exhausted and I'm hungry. But I goofed the lineup. Now you know. And then, of course, we have our theme music again that ties everything together. We're going to go from a time period of taking Jesus to the tomb and putting him in Joseph's tomb. And, when Jesus is at night. I got a great story for you coming up.
Note to self.
Now, you're going to hear a different audio quality on this part of it because when I originally recorded it, I had this cricket sound that I was playing over my speakers when I recorded on the digital recorder, but I was playing the audio drama after I'd mixed it all down for my family, and on our way out to a event, we were going to a concert. And we started listening to this part, and they all grasped their ears and started yelling at me. I guess I've lost my hearing up to a certain, you know, at a certain point, and I didn't hear it, but I call them the crickets of death. They were just killing them. It was like a bad Star Trek show when, you know, they grab their ears and it's like, so I had to come back in and edit that part with the crickets of death. Unfortunately, the crickets were not on a separate track, so I had to EQ out all the high end, and that's why it's so it's quieter than the rest of the drama at this point. But there wasn't anything else I could do. I didn't want to re-record that because I thought I captured the emotion that I wanted in the performance. But the crickets of death would have ripped everybody's ears apart. I didn't know that, but you know, I spared your ears because my wife and son and daughter all said, "Dad, you gotta do something about the crickets." So that's what I did. Got another great story in there of when Jesus healed the man in the temple, and how the Pharisees got really mad because you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day.
It was obvious that something had happened to him that was supernatural. So I was a little blown away. And
that's the other thing I wanted to get across was that this man was very distraught because Jesus had died, because Jesus had been so kind to him and healed him. And that was a really hard thing for people to, you know, kill his friend that had healed him. It was very difficult. And so I wanted to convey that story. That's another part of the Bible. Everything that you hear is totally based, obviously, on biblical stuff, except for the time travel and all that. I obviously made that part up.
I followed the procession of folks out to the tomb where they put Jesus into this cave.
Now he's in the garden and kind of gives a description of what happened and how they rolled the stone across the entrance of the tomb. It was going to be the Sabbath, and they couldn't work. They couldn't. They weren't able to put the spices and the stuff on the body that they wanted to. So they had to wait. And that's why the stone was rolled over the thing, so that nobody could come and steal the body. And
I've been thinking a lot about how I could actually be here.
Now this I have to attribute this part to. It was funny that my friend Mike from England, Feathers on the forum with me. He wrote, did an audio comment. You have to listen to the podcast, part two of Beaten to a Pulp, and hear his audio comment, because he was wondering, now, for the geeky sci-fi person in me, how did Blake actually, did he really go back, or was it all part of his mind? And he had these cool theories on all that. Well, now you get to hear Blake's theory was that perhaps the bombing had pushed him back in time somehow. You know, really, quite honestly, the story wasn't as much on the science fiction end of it as I just really wanted to bring out the story in a different way and different perspective. So I didn't put a huge amount of thought into how it could really have happened. So, and how does he get back? But I thought it was kind of cool for him to have some conjecturing. And conjecturing? Is that a word? Have some theory behind it of maybe if he could find another force like a blast like that, it would blow him back into the future. Maybe. We'll see, won't we? Of course, again, Blake talking about how people say that Jesus is going to raise from the dead. And now, it'll really change his life if it happens, won't it? Because he's the kind of guy that wants to see it for himself. And now he's going to see it. Again, I had to suppress the quality of this particular section because of the crickets of death. At any given moment, you have so many tracks going on at once, and it's fun to do sound engineering, but it's a little hard. This was an interesting comment. I remember reading a book by C.S. Lewis, and I thought it would be interesting that maybe Blake had read some stuff by C.S. Lewis at one time. And there is a part where C.S. Lewis writes that, you know, either Jesus was a liar and had made up this whole entire scenario, he was a lunatic and was frothing at the mouth, or he was really the Lord. The three L's, we call it, liar, lunatic, or Lord. And I wanted to slip that into Blake's conversation on his recorder. Here's where you get the song that rolls at the credits right out of this dialogue.
day or so and it doesn't happen, well, I guess I know.
Yeah, I guess you know.
Whatever the case is, I'm going to have to get back somehow.
You are going to have to get back, Blake. You can't stay there forever. You'll disrupt the space-time continuum, Captain Kirk. Okay, now we slip to early on the morning after Sabbath. Be Sunday morning. We got the rooster crowing in the background, so we have morning time. And now Blake realizes something's going on. Another earthquake. And I did this really short. I guess I could have made this a big, huge deal, but that's cool stereo sound of the stone rolling away. I wrote a specific theme for this scene. Things happening so fast, he can't describe all of it. All he knows is that Jesus is alive. He recognizes that Jesus rose from the dead. Of course, a lot of harp sounds and violins and timpanis and this fresh morning, you know, raised from the dead kind of sound.
Note to self, I have never seen anything like that.
Now I did something really interesting. I wanted to have a description on his tape recorder, but if you notice, I don't do a lot of music behind when he's doing the recorder until now.
It was so quick.
I wrote a song called
But there was this great earthquake.
He's Alive. Or Raised from the Dead, I guess you could call it that. And I wanted this song to be the bed of music that was behind the description that Blake had of what he saw. And so that's
light coming out.
Get to hear that song shine. It's also on the soundtrack if you have that. You can listen to it, called He's Alive. I have a cool funky drum beat remix that's on there on the album.
Jesus walk out of the tomb and it's like he disappeared, but I looked into his eyes and it was him. It was the same man that I looked into his eyes when he was carrying the cross. He was alive. It was amazing.
It's amazing.
Not too long ago, two ladies had come
I use that term a lot on there. It's amazing.
Prepare for burial or whatever their customs are. And
Blake's a good guy.
Saw the same being of light that I did, and he spoke to them, and I could hear him say, he said, "Don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen, just as they said." Then he invited them in to come see that he was gone.
I think that was interesting.
The
actual account when you read it in the Bible. It would have been fun to do it, but I didn't have all the time that I wanted on the drama. But the angel basically invites them in to see the tomb is empty.
They were running down the path, and
this would also have been a cool thing when they ran into Jesus and fell at his feet. If I would have had a couple lady actors to be able to play this, when I came up with the idea of this part, it would have been great. But that's okay. I just describe it.
This is just too nuts. And he said, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there I'm going to see them." And I'm telling you what, it was amazing. I saw it with my own eyes, and it was amazing.
I saw it with my own eyes, and it was amazing.
I don't know what to do. I saw
what would you do? I mean, what would you really do? I mean, I know what I did when I really started to believe in Jesus. That changed everything. But can you imagine actually being there and watching that happen? It would have been phenomenal.
I've got to hide.
Now here we go into the part where the soldiers think that Blake might have taken the body of Jesus. And, you know, they're in a little bit of trouble, the soldiers, because they let this happen on their watch.
"You there, stand still, do not move."
There's Nathan again.
"Me, you dog.
But I've done nothing."
I'm doing Blake's voice, and the other soldiers are telling him to kneel down and stuff.
"Hey, wait a minute.
Kneel.
Let's take him to the captain.
What's your name? Kneel.
Something about the disappearance of the body."
"Hey, dog."
Yeah, and then, of course, they're going to drag him off and everything.
"If you know what's good for you, you only speak what's spoken to."
That one Roman soldier gets around a lot, doesn't he? So now I just wanted to give a little bit. The soundtrack is from a cool setting on my keyboard called Modern Orchestra. And you can dream it up. You can make it sound like the show Lost. It's kind of my tribute to that. With the piano.
"So,
excuse me. And here's Preston Ward. He's a friend of my son's and comes over for dinner a lot. And
one more time.
I slowed his voice down a little bit, and we actually did the lines together on this one.
He's still
live
alive
in the studio.
He's what?
Really hard. That is a dagger that my son owns. He has a little Roman dagger, and I used it to make the sound effect. That's a real deal.
Look, I don't want any trouble. I'm not even from this time. I am
What are these items we found on your person?
Thought it'd be interesting if the Roman guards found some of his stuff, like his glasses and his shoes and the digital recorder. I thought that would be interesting. And of course, the guard finds the digital recorder and accidentally turns it on, and that, of course, that pretty much finishes Blake. What is this? And then all of a sudden he pushes the button on accident. Drops it.
What magic is this?
It's actually a cardboard box and a couple of rocks I think I used to make that sound.
Look, I can explain.
You will do no such
thing. I actually looked around to find the sound of cutting flesh. And I combined two sounds together to make this sound. And then a couple of body thumps. I thought it was interesting. I tell you he's alive, then you are dead. And then he slits Blake's throat. Kind of gross. Especially if you're listening in stereo. It's like, ew. Gross. Squishy. And that was it, man. Blake's a goner. He's out. Can only imagine what happened after that, huh? And then, of course, the music, like the old-time radio dramas. Da-da-da-da-dum-dum. And then, of course, now we have our time travel sound again. Coming up is a couple performances by my friend Daryl and Rico.
Mr. Rumstead, can you hear me?
Everybody knows who Rico is. If you've listened to Treks and Sci-Fi, you recognize his voice. He did a couple lines for me. And Daryl did the other EMT. So they're back in the future again.
You've been in a bombing, Mr. Rumstead.
Put a lot of different sounds in this. Jen sent me some good hospital sounds, and then I added some sirens and some driving sounds and city sounds and put it all together to make it seem like they were inside the ambulance.
Check his IV. You're going to be fine, doctor.
There was actually three lines of that, and I should have played the bloopers because they were so funny. Daryl, you just did a hilarious job on the bloopers. I mean, when you're just goofing around, he's like, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine. And I laughed so hard listening to that. But I picked the ones that I thought would work and put them in. Again, here's the theme, kind of wrapping it all together, signifying some time is passing from the aid car. And then, of course, we head into the final act. Same stupid buzzers in Jerusalem, huh? He's got a headache, though, so he's got to take some Tylenol. I was a little concerned that people might think, oh, here's Dave Rhodes doing the news anchor.
Even after 2 weeks, the cleanup still goes on from the horrible suicide bomb.
I used a stapler for the remote control sound.
Hello?
There's my friend Simon again from England. And I actually taped his lines from my speakers onto the digital recorder because I couldn't figure out how to do a sound on the phone, so that's how I did
Samantha
it.
Samantha with you? How big is it?
Yep, she's here with me. It looks like it's a smaller one. I get off the bloody phone and get down here.
Because the main theme is coming back in. And now we get to hear Blake on his drive to the dig. I had to have some way of kind of sewing up the loose ends. Of, you know, how long had taken place here. And he's supposed to be on bed rest for 3 weeks. He only takes two. And that he's talking to his doctor on the phone, on his cell phone. You get to hear how his progression is going. Now he's getting in trouble because he's going to work.
Hey, 3 weeks is way too long to be out of commission.
That's right, 3 weeks, way too long.
Yes, I promise to take it easy. No, they didn't find any of it.
Now we establish that they didn't find any of his stuff from the bombing. And all this stuff is broken. His laptop doesn't work anymore. So he lost all that research, but he's still involved in the dig. And hopefully he's going
to
find something cool here.
In fact, after all I've been through, I'd consider myself blessed.
Now you hear him talking about being blessed. And remember, he didn't believe in miracles before, but now he's been rethinking some things. What a wild dream he had.
Okay, hey, I'm just pulling up to the dig site. I'll talk to you then. Uh-huh, you too.
I know nowadays doctors don't talk to you, but maybe they do in Israel. Call me up. Hey, doc, call me on my cell phone. Okay, we're back at the dig now, and we're going to see some cool stuff. They're using the paleo radiology machine.
It's not a toothbrush.
It's not a toothbrush. It's a Roman dagger. I love how he says that.
Covered down to the last layer. We thought you might like to do
both him and Jen have such great faces.
Ready and waiting, doctor.
That's a plastic Walmart bag that I'm using in the background.
But everything I've dreamed of is coming true. Come on, guys, let's do it. Note to...
Now, see, Blake's upset because he doesn't have his recorder with him anymore.
I've got the digital camera. It's all set up.
So
come on, Blake. Let's get to
Samantha was thinking and has recording. The video recorder
Note
ready
to
go.
We're dusting off the last layer of what
they
we
go
hope
dusting.
To be a Roman
we used
a
artist brush
AD.
In a box with rice and sandpaper for that
it
sound.
Has some corrosion, but oh, look at this. It's beautiful. I've got the handle almost free. This
the metal
is a
tool
miracle.
Sound is the back of the paintbrush on a cardboard box.
Yeah, well, I've had some time to think about that lately.
Now he admits he's had some time.
So similar to the dagger I saw in my dream. Are you getting this, Samantha?
Yes, Dr. Runstedt.
Getting a little impatient with the doctor.
Is it free? Here.
Uh-oh.
Let me help.
What are they going to find now? Now we get the cool little music that comes in.
Seems to be all in one piece. This is a great find.
Yes, but what did they find?
A little more coaxing. Ow! What the heck? I nicked myself on what
He's
is
He's called
that?
Bloody Finger.
It's got a lined edge.
Wonder what it could be.
The tip of the dagger.
Wasn't
let
the sharpening stone, was
it?
It?
Whatever it is, it's pretty badly corroded.
Can you zoom on this, Samantha?
I'm with you, Doc. You know, we saw a rectangular image on the x-ray by the dagger, but I assumed it was a sharpening stone.
Yeah, you assume. You know what happens when you assume.
Okay, the dagger's almost free.
Now we're going for the moment in time when the revelation hits.
Out before we can pull it free.
They're going to get the dagger out.
Charlie.
Pretty excited.
Whatever you say, Doctor.
Okay, give it a push. It's coming free.
Push that cardboard box.
Hand me the metal tool.
Is that what I think it is?
Sounds pretty cool.
It's my digital recorder.
Bump! And there's the end right there. And of course, then we go into the song. And the song was written specifically from Blake's point of view. But there you go. There's the drama in its entirety. And you kind of heard my comments over it. A lot of fun to do. A lot more work than I expected it to be. And like I said, I probably won't approach another drama for a few months. I think I'll do one around Christmas time. Got one that I wrote that I think would be cool done in audio. It's a takeoff on Scrooge and very fun, so that might be a fun thing to record. But anyway, we go into the song now, and of course my mind was a god and I thought I had it made. It's basically he didn't think too hard about the sacrifice that Jesus had made. So anyway, basically Blake comes to terms with the fact that he didn't believe until now, and that really changed his life. So very, very cool. I do want to say thank you to everybody that helped make the drama possible. It was really fun to have the encouragement. Of course, all the folks in the cast did a wonderful job, and my family put up with a lot of... I mean, I worked some seriously long days on this, and they had to be quiet, and when they weren't, I yelled at them. So thank you guys for putting up with it, and fun to be in the house of creative people, but it gets a little crazy at times. But I do appreciate everybody's help on it, and all the sacrifices that were made to bring it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you really enjoyed the audio drama. And let me know what you think. You can email me at rick@takehimwithyou.com. Love to hear what you think. rick@takehimwithyou.com. Okay, bless you, and I hope you have an incredible Easter, or you did have an incredible Easter now that you're listening to this. Be creative, you know, shoot for your dreams, and I hope you have faith in Christ, because he certainly is an amazing experience, and my life is different now because of him. So bless you, and have a great day. My life seems so wasted now in the light of what I found. And I have heard your story, but I knew it all somehow. And now that I see with my
Audio Drama Cast. Rick Moyer as Dr. Blake Rumstead. Simon Meddings as Dr. Charlie Blankenship. Jen Rhodes as Dr. Samantha Crowley. Catherine Moyer as the cafe waitress. Nathan Moyer as Roman Soldier 1. Preston Ward as townsfolk and captain of the guard. Richard Pete as Simon of Cyrene. Daryl Skills as EMT 1. Rick Dosty as EMT 2, and Dave Rhodes as the news anchorman. All music written, recorded, and performed by Rick Moyer. Copyright 2009, Moyer Multimedia, LLC. All rights reserved. For more information, go to takehimwithyou.com. And don't forget to listen to the weekly audio podcast of Take Him With You with Rick Moyer, the weekly podcast that's spiritual, not religious, at www.takehimwithyou.com. And thanks for joining us for Beaten to a Pulp, the audio drama.